Checks and Balance Podcast. I'm your host, John Abruzzi. Well, it's Friday, the 26th. I know a lot of you guys are happy today. It's payday. The weekend's coming. But not only that, you guys are seeing them Biden books hit them checking accounts. I know a lot of you guys are excited. Ready to blow it. I already blew mine. I put mine into, I bought a new MacBook Pro. 13-inch, it's pretty dope. I really like that Touch ID. It makes things a lot easier. I like the new keypad. I like the little sliding bar up top. It's not keys anymore. It's like a pad thing. It's pretty cool. But besides that, hope you guys are all doing good. Hope you guys are out there getting your vaccines, doing what you got to do, because we're about to blow the lid off this economy. We're about to get back to normal. I'm excited, man. I'm ready to fucking get back to normal, take these masks off. But I have a funny feeling we're going to be in it for at least the rest of this year. I hope not, but it's looking that way. Maybe by next year we'll at least be able to take these fucking masks off. So, we're opening up slowly. That's a good sign. Things are looking good. People are getting the vaccine. We're starting to see supply starting to ramp up. So, things are looking good. What are we going to talk about this week? I got a couple things in mind. One, I don't know if you guys heard, there's this department store scandal I call going on. There's two assembly women, or actually two assembly women, a man from Frisco and a woman from Los Angeles is trying to put into law gender-neutral retail departments. It's pretty crazy. We'll get into that. I also want to talk a little bit about the border crisis. That's also want to talk about gas prices. A lot of people are blaming Joe Biden for the gas prices, and I don't think people really understand he's not really the one to blame. I also want to talk about the $15 minimum wage. That's kind of been lost now that the stimulus checks are out. Nobody's really talking about the $15 minimum wage anymore. So we're going to get into that. I think I'm going to give my thoughts on why I think we should increase the minimum wage and go from there. But let's talk about this department store, this gender-neutral department store. I guess these two, like I said, two assembly members. One, his name is Evan Lowe. He's from the Bay Area. And then Christine Garcia. So he's from Los Angeles. I guess they put this bill together. It's AB 1084. And it's try to keep gender neutral retail departments. This, I was reading it earlier. I'm going to go over it a little bit with you guys. This shit is crazy. They want to get rid of the, basically the boy-girl sections in the department store and put everything together all as one. Gender neutral. They don't want to discriminate against the kids that are still trying to figure things out, I guess. As a young age, trying to figure out what gender they identify with, which, I mean, I don't get it, but I don't know. It's weird. Look at this. The bill is called AB 1084. You guys can look it up on the internet yourself. But this is what it says right here. A retail department store that offers childcare items for sale shall maintain one undivided area of its sales floor where the majority of the childcare items being offered shall be displayed, regardless of whether particular childcare item has been traditionally marked for either girls or boys. So I guess if you've been traditionally shopping in the girls and boys section. Next time when this bill gets passed, they want to get it enacted by 2024 January. You'll be walking into department stores and the girls and guys section, or the girls and boys section for kids, will be gone. That is fucking, I mean, I don't know, man. Let's go over this bill a little bit more. Let's see what it says. A retail department store that offers childcare clothing for sale shall maintain one undivided area of its sales floor. The majority of the childcare clothing being offered shall be displayed, regardless of whether particular childcare clothing has been. Damn, even clothing, see? A retail department store that offers toys for sale. Mean one undivided area for a sales floor. Damn, so toys too. Nothing in this section shall be construed to constrain how retailer promotes, displays, or presents a particular item with each undivided area of its sales floor, whether either child care items, child care clothing, or toys being offered for sale. Wow. However, no signage shall be used with any undivided area where either child care items, clothing, or toys are being offered. Wow. So you can't have any undivided area. It's all got to be fucking one little thing, huh? Wow. A retail department store located in California that maintains an internet website, wow, through which it sells child care items, children's clothing, toys, or anything that could be considered a combination of thereof, shall dedicate a section of the internet website to the sale of those items and articles that shall be titled as the discretion of the retailer, kids, unisex, or general neutral. Retailer, kids. Wow, so I guess, wow. You gotta have it. Kids, unisex, or gender neutral as the overall label. I guess you kind of have the kids or the boys section, so it's just going to be the kids section, and then bam, you're not going to have no more dividing on the left or right. You're just going to be, I guess this is going to be one lumped in page. I guess you're going to have products. I don't know. It's going to be weird. Wow, so there's a different section for retail departments with more than 500 employees. So beginning on January 1st, 24 retail department store that fails to correct a violation of this section within 30 days of receiving a written notice of the violation from the Attorney General is liable for a civil penalty of $1,000. Wow, so there'll be which will be assessed and recovered in a civil action brought in the name of the people of the state of California. So I guess if you don't follow these rules that they tend to enact, you get fined $1,000. I mean, this is pretty crazy if you guys ask me. I mean, I understand giving respect to the transgender community. But, I mean, how far is too far? We're going to be going too far here. I mean, pretty soon we're going to make the transgender so comfortable we're going to push out the non-transgender. I mean, it's not like I have something against them, but, I mean, we don't have to change everything to make them comfortable, because if we make them comfortable, by all means, we're going to push out the people that aren't transgender. We're going to make them uncomfortable. I mean, how many people really want to go to do a kid with their kids, and now everybody's going to be shopping in one section? At least when it was separated, it was, you know, a little bit more manageable. Now you got them hooking all in one section. I don't understand it, guys. I mean, California's going a little too far with this one. If you guys want to look this up, the bill's AB1084. That's all you got to put in, and you'll see. I mean, what I don't understand is, if transgender identify with a certain gender, why don't they shop in that section and go into that section? I mean, the stigma, I mean, I know there is a stigma to that, but it's, you know, it's dwindling. It's getting better. Over time, that'll heal. The stigma of transgender people over time will get less. more it'll become more and more acceptable. But forcing this onto people, forcing change like this, and now forcing their kids to get involved, isn't going to generate hate against those people in my eyes. I think we need to slow the skis down. We need to really think this one out. We need to find a happy medium for both sides. I mean, transgender need their rights, I understand. But we're going a little too far with this. We can do something, meet in the middle. There's always going to be a stigma. There's nothing we can do about that. We're going to have to get past it. But over time, you know, it's gonna fade. Look at the gays. They weren't able to marry. Look at now. They're able to marry. Things changed over time. People's minds changed. Look at marijuana. Look at how they looked at that. It takes time to change. You can't just force things on people, because then it's gonna create resentment, and then you don't want even more resentment against the transgender community. That's just my opinion on that one. If Gavin Newsom wants to make some friends right now, because he's in a recall, he would strike down this when he gets to his desk. He would not sign it. This is, I mean, I would not feel comfortable with my kids. I mean, it's not like feeling comfortable. It's just, I guess I'm a little traditional in this sense that I'm used to this. I guess I'm stuck in my ways, you know? I'm used to the traditional boy-girl. And if you identify with that gender, I don't see any issue with going into that department. You think even if you put all the clothing and all the toys and all the things together, and now the boys are seeing the transgender boy playing with all the girl stuff, you don't think they're going to notice that? Just because they're now in the same section doesn't mean it's going to make things okay. No, to me, it just seems off to me, but what do I know? I don't know. It just seems like it's actually counterproductive with what they're trying to do. They're trying to make them feel more inclusive, and they're going to create more resentment, and they're going to be more excluded from the community. So I really hope Gavin Newsom strikes this bill down. We need to figure something else out. This is not the way to go. If you guys want to look him up, there, it's Evan Lowe from, he's from the Bay Area, and Christina Garcia, she's from Los Angeles. Two assembly women, they're putting this bill together. It's just amazing. I have nothing against it, but guys, I mean, let's think about this. Let's not just make the transgender community feel comfortable. Let's make everybody feel comfortable. And that takes time. It's not gonna happen overnight. It's gonna take years. You know? It's not gonna maybe happen in 1 year, 2 years. It's gonna take a while. Maybe take decades for people to finally get comfortable. But it is what it is, man. It's a new thing. People are scared of change, so you know, you gotta take baby steps, not giant leaps. So we can figure something out. Let's get off that topic. What are we going to talk about next? The gas prices. Okay, I hear a lot of people blaming Joe fucking Biden for the gas prices. That can be further from the truth. Joe Biden has no fucking control of the gas prices. Supply and demand has fucking control of the gas prices. We consume about 18 billion barrels a day of oil. We produce 12 billion barrels of oil. So what does that mean? We need to import oil to keep up with demand, to keep up with the lights on in our country day to day. So who has control of this oil? It's 11 countries that get together called OPEC. And those 11 countries get together every so often throughout the year. And they set oil prices or oil production oil supply, actually, I should say, to try to control prices. Now, these 11 countries, actually, I think it's 11, 15, I forgot how many countries are on it. But if you go look at the list, all of them are Middle Eastern, South American. We are not on that list. We're not an oil producing country. We do not control oil prices. What happened was, earlier this year, OPEC had their meeting. And you know what they decided? They decided to cut production. So just as society, our communities, and everybody's about to open up, they cut production on fucking oil. Why do you think they're scaling back on production of oil? Because they know the fucking price is going to go up. And they're going to fucking recoup all those losses that we had last year when the oil prices were down again. Because in 2019, the gas prices were up in the $3, $4 in my area. They went down because obviously in 2020 we had a fucking pandemic and everybody stopped producing, everybody stopped driving, everyone was stuck at home. You know, the economy shut down. So now that supply, now that the economy is ramping up, supply is cut. Because people at OPEC, these oil companies, they want to recoup the losses that they had. I mean, why else would they strip supply when the economy is opening up? There's no other answer. I mean, it's not helping the economy. What's it helping? It's helping the bottom line. It's helping the profit. So that's why I don't understand. When people blame Joe Biden for the gas prices, that can be further from the truth. That they're just following what's told to them on Fox News and what's, you know, on their latest QAnon websites or their, you know, right-wing websites that they go and follow. Because that's all they're doing. They're looking for any little thing to blame Joe Biden for. And this right here, the gas fucking prices, he has zero control over. Zero control. OPEC has control of the gas price, the oil prices. And what is used for gas? Oil. Well, extraction is. But, well, that's a different topic. So think about who you should put the blame on before you decide to blame Joe Biden. Because he is not the man. He is not the man. The 11 Middle Eastern countries, the 12 Middle Eastern countries, whatever it is, I forgot how many it is in OPEC. Those are the scumbags you want to look. Because they know goddamn well this country's and every other country around is about to start opening up. And they strip supply. I mean, if you guys understand how supply works and demand works, then you should understand why the prices are going up. As soon as fucking supply goes down and demand's shooting up, there's a little bit of product and there's a lot of demand for it, so everybody's going to bet the price up. Back in 2019, there was a lot of supply, so they had to bring the prices down because there was not enough demand. Not a lot of people were driving around because they were stuck at home. So now it's time to recoup benefit. So that's what they're going to be doing. Don't be blaming your fucking local politicians. Don't be blaming your... It's out of their hands. It's supply and demand, guys. It's the nature of the market. Nothing we can do. If you're a Republican and you like free market, you should understand this shit. But you're not. You're sheep, you're closed-minded, and you just want to believe any fucking thing that the Republicans will tell you. Because you will not go look it up for yourself. You can go look up how much oil is produced by Americans. How much oil do we consume? You could see the 11 countries or the 12 countries in OPEC that control the main supply of oil. It ain't us, buddy. It ain't us. Our country don't produce it. So before you guys go and put blame, do some research, do some thinking, and check it out. Because I'm kind of tired of hearing Joe Biden get blamed for gas prices. I mean, look at how pathetic these people are getting. I mean, they got nothing else to complain. They're complaining, okay, they're bringing the Trump border fucking crisis up, which, I mean, we could have seen happening. He created the border crisis from the get-go. So, you know, that's just a replay from his playbook. And now they're, you know, they have nothing else, so they're talking about gas prices. I mean, give me a break. Let's talk about policy or something. You know, fixing, getting us out of this fucking pandemic. What the Republicans really should be doing, instead of fucking worrying about the border or the fucking gas prices, they should be worried about fucking getting their people to get vaccinated so we should all get back to fucking work. Get back to fucking normal. I mean, I've been working because I work in the nursing field. But there's a lot of people, friends of mine, and family that haven't been. So instead of focusing on the negative bullshit, why don't they focus on getting people back to work, getting people vaccinated? You get them vaccinated, we get everybody back to work. We open up quicker. We won't have more all these restrictions. We can take fucking these masks off. And then you really see the economy boom. If you think, look at it, the Republicans are stalling with all these tactics. They're trying to distract you. You know why they're distracting you? Because you guys all are cashing those checks, and not one single one of them voted for that bill. They voted against you getting that money. They voted against me getting this new Mac Pro, shows how old I am, computer, you know? They voted against you paying that bill. They voted against you paying off that credit card. They voted against you using that money to go on a trip. They voted against all of that. You know, they voted against you putting extra food on the table. Why? All because Joe Biden is a Democrat. Because it really was supported by a lot of Americans. Even Republicans supported it. But they couldn't withstand standing with Joe Biden and signing onto a bill he did. So they, yeah. So, anyways, more power to them. Republican Party is going to go down. We're going to take a break, and then I will see you guys on the other side. Hello, and welcome back to the Checks and Balance podcast. I know a lot of you guys are happy right now with your checks. You know, you're cashing them, going out and spending them, doing everything they wanted you to do. But I think what's getting thrown out here is one thing that was meant to be in there, in the $15 minimum wage. There's a lot of views on that. A lot of the Republicans are against it, saying the small businesses can't afford it, and Bernie Sanders and them are still pushing for it. Here's my view on it. My view is, if a business cannot afford a $15 minimum wage, they have no business being in business. Here's my view on it. Because here's the thing. If you're paying someone below the poverty line, let's just say $7.50 is the national average, I guess, and the minimum wage. So you're paying them $7.50, right? And they can't afford their payments. What do they start doing? They start qualifying for food stamps, housing, Medicare. Free. Well, not free. Now it's on the taxpayer. So now the taxpayer is subsidizing that small business's worker. If you think about it. I mean, we're picking up the tab. Because that business is not able to afford a livable wage for that person. That person has to go somewhere else to find the rest of that income to supplement her bills. And so what does she do? She goes to the government and starts applying for food stamps. So that's my view. I think if our business cannot afford a $15 minimum wage, you're actually kind of a burden on society. I mean, because your workers cannot sustain a livable wage, so they're going on to food stamps, causing our taxes for everybody else to go up. Meanwhile, you're taking goods, a lot, good amount of profit, and you are not giving it, passing it down to your worker. So we're actually sustaining your life, increasing your life, increasing your standard of living instead of the workers. Meanwhile, we're picking up the tab for all your workers and you're off vacationing. A lot of the Republicans, they always cite the CBO. The CBO, they came out with the national... CBO is the Congressional Budget Office. They came out with their little study saying that a 15... There are pros and cons, but there was a couple negatives that the Republicans are biting on. That would lose 1.4 million jobs. They increase the budget deficit. Which is funny. All of a sudden, now the Republicans are talking about budget deficits. They say that it would increase prices, which all actually are counterproductive. Counter to the argument, if you think about it. Because if you start paying these workers more, they're going to start being able to afford more things, lower our taxes, lower the burden that we're all going to be paying, and the employer's going to have to be paying. And then what's going to happen? They're going to be stimulating the economy, paying, buying more things, creating jobs. Now, because they're getting paid more, workers are going to need, I mean, these employers are going to need more employees to sustain the demand. Instead of keeping that money in the sidelines, in their pockets, they should increase their pay into their employees. They will actually increase their money. So I was doing some research. I was wondering, the $15 minimum wage. Okay, let's see what that would get you. Okay, so $15 right now, at 40 hours a week, that's $600, right? Every 2 weeks, that's $1,200. Every month, that's $2,400. That's gross. That's not including your taxes taken out. If you have insurance, if you have a 401k, if you have anything. That's gross. $2,400. A month, right? Well, according to the Statistica, the national average for apartment rentals is $1,468. So you got after paying rent for that month, you got $1,000. Now you got utilities, you got car, you got food. You got to keep up with clothing, health insurance. I don't think I mentioned that already. Entertainment. You see where I'm going here? Even $15 is not really a sustainable living, especially here out in California where things are really expensive. I mean, $15 in the middle. $15 minimum wage might be good in, I don't want to dog on them, but the southern states or states where there's not a lot of people and where the demands are down and where apartments are $700, it might do good there. But I think $15 minimum wage in California is actually a low ball, if you ask me. As I was looking up some other stuff, I found some surveys that a couple of economists did and a couple of colleges did that actually countered the CBO's predictions that there would actually be job losses and, increase in unemployment, stuff like that. Oxford Academic, they did a survey. Found an increase will not result in significant job loss. Low-wage jobs that got a pay increase, the job numbers stayed the same. So, they found an increase will not result in job losses. Low the low wage paying jobs, the job numbers, they stayed the same. They got an increase. No one got laid off. No one. They stayed the same over time. Economist Aaron Dube from UMass, he found that for every 1% increase in pay, there is a 0.04 increase in unemployment. So you can see, you increase people's pay 1%, there's 0.04 increase in unemployment. That's what their study found. So it's actually really not that bad if you increase people's pay, because they see once people increase their pay, they start putting more cash into the economy, actually more money into the owner's pockets, or their money back into their pockets, stimulating the economy. It's like a big circle. There's this study down at UC Berkeley. They found that a pay increase would have a positive effect on the budget deficit. So they found that the budget deficit would not increase, it actually decreased. Because why? People are going to be off fucking social programs. They're not going to be using social programs no more. So $15 minimum wage is actually a positive thing. I mean, depending on where you live, $15 minimum wage is good, but it's still not enough. But in other states, $15 minimum wage, man, it'll take you from poor to middle class. $15 minimum wage. And if your business can't sustain that, then what are they doing in business? They're sustaining themselves, but they're not sustaining the employees, the ones working for them, doing the back-breaking work. At least that's my view on it. I mean, if they cannot afford a living wage, they're not helping society. I mean, that's what a business is for. They're supposed to be there to serve society, right? Are they serving society well? If they're paying their employees low wages and leaving the taxpayers to pick up the rest of their tab? I think not. You know? They can swindle some more bucks down to the... They can trickle some more bucks down to the bottom. Because here's the thing. The reason why a lot of these people get tax breaks and up top, a lot of the rich people get tax breaks, is because Republicans think trickle-down economics works. Trickle-down economics is they get the tax breaks, they pay less in taxes so they can get more money back so they can pay their employees back. Well, as we can see with the fucking minimum wage being at $7.50 and the average, I mean, it's even lower than some states, that trickling down is not actually happening. They don't trickle down. These companies either pad their pockets, give themselves raises or bonuses, depending on the size of the company, or they do stock buybacks and give money back to the shareholders. Trickle down economics doesn't work. That's why you actually need a federal minimum wage that is decent for everybody. I mean, maybe we need a scaling minimum wage depending on the city that we're in. But then that's going to create competition amongst the cities and states. And that's just going to go south real quick. So you can't really do that. But we should make a sustainable federal minimum wage above living standards. I mean, I saw a chart the other day, if we were keeping up with inflation and the times of raises, or of when the unemployment used to increase, federal minimum wage used to increase, it would be up in the $20 areas right now. That's more like it. I mean, that's a little bit more sustainable. And I know what a lot of people are thinking, you know, $20, shit. Everything, all the prices are going to go up. Not necessarily. If we gradually went to it, we'd be used to it by now. See, we can't do it all in one swoop, go from $7.50 to $20. No. It's going to have to be a gradual, you know, incline in the federal minimum wage. You can't just do it all in one swoop. That's definitely going to hurt the businesses, you know. Everybody's going to have to adjust. So That's my view on the minimum wage. I really think if a business can't sustain a $15 minimum wage, they need to get the hell out of there. They're causing mine and your taxes to go up. You know? What the hell? Are we sustaining the business or the people? We're sustaining both if you look at it. So that's my view on the $15 minimum wage. One other thing I really want to talk about before we get out of here is the border crisis. The border is not Joe Biden's fault. The border is not Trump's fault. It's not Obama's fault. You know whose fault it is? It's the countries that they fucking live in. And I know Trump said this, and a lot of people don't like it, but a lot of the countries they did live in, they are shithole countries. Why do you think they're coming here? We've tried both ways. The inhumane way Trump wanted. And now we're trying the soft approach with Joe Biden. As you Republicans like to say, elections have consequences. You know, I don't blame anybody for the border. I know the politicians, they like to use it as a political weapon. You know, I know the Democrats did that last time. The Republicans are doing that now. I see all the 18, 20 Republicans went down to the border today and checked things out. Or this week, or was it last night? Or I first saw this video and Ted Cruz was out there with a flashlight and said he saw some people crossing the border, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's all bullshit. I wish one of the border people would have took him out. But I think we got to do something because these people are going to come. They're going to keep coming. They have problems at their home country. They're running from they're about to get either murdered. Their country is very corrupt. I mean, some of their countries got zero money. Their inflation is really high. They're poor. There's no food. You know, they got food shortages. There's gang related. Gangs going after their families. Rapes high. Killings high. So they're trying to escape. How do we do this? How do we fix this? Do we go around and fix every country? Or do we donate money to... I mean, no, we can't do that because we donate money. We're donating money to corrupt politicians. You know, we've tried everything. No one's really came up with a solution. Because even though Trump was locking up in cages, guess what? Those cages fucking kept getting filled. He had to build more cages. They didn't stop them. They probably felt more comfortable in the cage. At least they were safe. They knew Americans weren't going to really kill them. So we've tried every way. So, you know, ignore the politicians. They're going to blame both sides. Both of them should, you know, shut the fuck up. Sit down, figure something out. A wall's not going to work. A wall's not going to work. As we can see from El Chapo. You guys know El Chapo, the drug lord, kingpin. All those fucking tunnels that he dug up in Mexico. And you want to tell me a fucking wall's going to work? You got to be the dumbest fool ever. And you thought Mexico was going to pay for it? Yeah, fucking right. So we need to stop blaming each other. And we need to fucking sit down and figure this shit out. Do we want to go over there and reconstruct? Because I know you guys hate wars and blah, blah, blah. I hate going to other countries and fix it. But you want to fix over there so shit doesn't get fucked up over here? You want to go help out, do something? Or do you want to keep letting them come here and keep throwing them back and come back, throwing them back, and doing this loop-de-loop fucking game? That's all we're doing. And then each political cycle, each party will pick a side and run with it. So why don't we end this shit and figure something else out? Better for everybody. And the funny thing is, I was looking it up. The fucking funny thing is, according to the Congressional Budget Office, research shows that undocumented immigrants increase the size of the U.S. economy, can contribute to growth, to economic growth, enhance the welfare of natives, contribute to more in tax revenue than they do collect. Reduce American firms' incentives to offshore jobs, and would increase the immigrants' earnings and consumption considerably, and increase U.S. gross domestic product. Damn. See? So if you guys didn't get that, because my shit, I couldn't, my mouth was starting to get dry. My mouth was sticking together. They're actually a net positive. They may pay more in tax revenue than they collect in these social programs that you guys all think Mexicans are on. Because you know why? How these Mexicans, and these, and not just Mexicans, it could be El Salvador, anybody that's from crossing the border illegally. How are they collecting tax benefits when they have no social security number? But you know what they do? They do pay taxes when they go to the stores. They do pay taxes on shit. They pay taxes almost every day, just like me and you do. Going to hotels. Going to restaurants. Do they receive? Well, not a lot of them receive all that money and social benefits. It may seem that way because that's what certain politicians want you to think, but they don't. They actually grow the economy. If you think about it, there's jobs that they do that you don't want to do, that you think you should get paid 10 times more than what they're getting paid. And yeah, you're going to say, oh, well, they're stealing our jobs. Well, no, they're not, because you're not willing to do the job. They're not stealing your jobs. You think about it, that'll incentivize you to go and do something different. Something that'll make you grow and be a better person and create more income for yourself. Because obviously, if that job that they're doing isn't paying what it should be, because obviously they're getting paid under the table, can't put a minimum wage on that. So, I mean, it is what it is. You know, in certain areas, yeah, they may be taking some jobs. But that's a battle of supply and demand. But in the overall picture, they're actually a net positive for the economy. So maybe we should think about this. Maybe we should maybe let a little more in under the table. I mean, that's what... That's what Trump does in his hotels down there in the Mar-a-Lago. You guys remember he has a lot of foreigners working for him down there. So this Republican border crisis, in my opinion, is a fucking joke. It's a joke when the Democrats were doing it. It's a joke now. We need to sit down, figure it out. Because we're never going to get past it. They're going to keep coming no matter what the fuck we do. Okay? And like Joe Biden said the other day, he's not going to just, a poor starving kid that just ran over here, he's not going to just send him back. Well, what are you going to do? That's kind of a little inhumane. Trump tried it, he sent them back. Guess what? They're still coming. They still came under his watch. So, I declare we all sit down, figure this shit out, and really handle it. Let's not just leave it as a political battleground. So every 4 year, every election cycle, people can use something to pump up their videos and their political ads with, you know. Let's stop that and let's fucking figure out this crisis. I want them to come in legally and give them a green card and put them to work and have them pay taxes. That'll lower our taxes for everybody. You give them a tax ID. Guess what? They start paying taxes. So. Alright guys, I think that's going to be it for today. I hope you guys like the show. If you guys want to check more of me out, I'm at checksandbalances101.com. I have all my social medias up there. I have my articles that I write up there. I post some videos that I like up there. And yeah, you can also see some of my clothing line. You can also donate to this podcast where you can make it a little bit better too. So... And I know I've been a little bit lagging on these podcasts, but I promise you, that's because, you know, I've been going to school, and school's really kicking my ass right now. But I'm going to talk a little bit more about school next time. But I'm going to I'm going to get on these podcasts. I'm going to make sure I got one every Friday for you guys. All right. See you guys later. And remember, get your vaccine. Let's end this shit. Check me out again. Remember, checks and balances101.com. See you guys later.